Well, I want to speak in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I don't want to do anything in my own strength, so I'm just pray, Father, come and speak through me this morning and speak to us. We want to know you more. We want to hear from you and know you in a deeper and a fuller way. Work in us, Holy Spirit, what you want to do this moment. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, before I start, actually, I'm going to just say something, just to practice what I preach. I'm just going to read you a verse from Hebrews 2, which says, "So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers in the presence of the congregation. I will sing your praises." Basically, this was a revelation to me when somebody pointed out to me that Jesus is a worship leader. In fact, he is the worship leader because he is not afraid to declare the name of God amongst the brothers and sing his praises. And I just want to encourage you, John, again, sorry, I picked on you twice now, but when people sit there, that happens. But, wow, I've never seen you lead worship before. And it's great. It really is. And so it's not just a thing you do in church because you have a guitar and a voice and you're very musical as well. He cues very clearly. I like people who give clear cues. Who's giving Graham clear cues. I'm just bigging this up now. But you are like Jesus when you do it. So there's a likeness of Jesus in you when you do that. So anyway, I'm just practicing what I preach. So you can have that for free. Okay, so this... It was a bit strange how I came to this, really, because I was wanting to speak on why we gather together as church, and I felt compelled. I did this with Kings a few weeks ago. I felt compelled to speak about the image of God in us, which I didn't quite. It was a bit of like, oh, I thought I was talking about gathering, and anyway. So I'm going to kind of bring it a bit back more to the context of church. Why we gather when we gather? Why are we doing this? Why are we here? Why are you here? You know, okay, we've had breakfast now and you're still here. So why are you here? And why we do that? One of the things in the New Testament is we gather together to stir one another up to love and good works, to encourage one another. There's a lot of one another's in the Bible. If you read the New Testament, there's a lot of one another's. And the only way you can do a one another is to be with one another, okay? I can't be one another with John, sorry, picking on you again, if we're not here in the same room, okay? You know, because me, one another, John, can't do one another stuff unless we're one another. So that's one of the reasons why we gather. To encourage one another is one of the reasons why we gather. So you've already had an opportunity to do that this morning, I hope. I hope that was encouraging, if not a little bit scary for some of you. And I encourage you, as I was just saying to Brian, you know, he was saying, you know, we do it once and then maybe we kind of, oh, I've done that now. I did that last week and that will do. But I encourage you to develop that. No, don't wait for somebody at the front to say, right, now go and encourage one another. And don't wait when you think, well, how can I encourage so-and-so? Now you've got a sort of a tool, if you like, to say, right, I can now encourage people because I've seen the image of God or the image of Jesus in someone. And I can just say, I'm going to point that one out. Okay. Right, so why do we gather, and that's how this all comes together. I want to take you right back to the beginning, like really to the beginning, and I want to want you to consider what I would regard, this is, I'm going off one already, is as the first church. Some people would say the first church started after Jesus ascended to heaven, you know, Acts chapter 2, oh, that was the beginning of the church. Some people say, oh, when he gathered the disciples, maybe that was the beginning of the church. Some people say Israel was the beginning of the church. I want to give you this idea that actually before there was creation, there was church, in the sense that we worship a God who is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they've always been there. He has always been there, and as a gathered community of people worshiping, as I've said, Jesus is a worship leader. And so you've got like a church before the beginning of time in the Godhead, the Trinity. Now, I'm not going to go off on the Trinity. You can read books on that and get as confused as I am on it if you want to learn the technicalities of it. But just try and hold that idea that God himself is a gathered community, three persons in one, who loves, encourages, speaks, shares fellowship from ever to ever. Okay? That's God. That's the God we worship. And then you go to the beginning, and in Genesis 1, I keep knocking into this. Sorry, Jackie, you're going to have to move that back. So I'm being irreligious. I'm moving the furniture in the church. In Genesis chapter 1, in the creation story, it says that God said, let us, the Godhead, make man or mankind after our likeness. So we are made in the image of God, which is something I talked about earlier. But we're made, I want you to get this idea, we're made in the image of a communal God. Okay? Three persons in one. And so to gather together as church, as we're doing this morning, to not live in isolation, not to live on our own somewhere, is actually you're being like God right now just by being here. Because we're gathered together just as God is gathered together. And that's, I think, a very good reason to be church, to be gathered together. We're created in God's image, but the image of God is tarnished in us. Through sin, that image gets corrupted, gets covered, gets obscured, gets mutated, whatever you want to call it. Sin causes us to hide within ourselves. Sin causes us to be disconnected with one another. If you read the Adam and Eve account, this all happens, doesn't it? What do? They go and hide. What do? They cover themselves. What do? There's separation. We take on false identities. We hide behind masks. And you go on to Cain and Abel. Obviously, that didn't end well. And things get in the way between us. We become separated, we become hidden and concealed. And so through sin, our image of God, the image of God in us, becomes a bit of a dim reflection, if we're honest, okay? And we're all probably very good at pointing that out in other people. You know, I could see people struggling around the room kind of thinking, how do I say this without being rude, you know? How do I encourage here when I'm really good at sort of saying, did you realize you're really irritating, you know? Now, those kind of things are obvious to us, particularly if we're married. You know, these kind of things, when we live with these things. But also, I hope when we're married, we also see the beauty. Bless me. Through sin, these things get concealed. They get hidden. And I think what we need to re-envision ourselves is that part of our salvation is that in and through Jesus, that image starts to be refound, to be rediscovered. That as sin is washed away, as our lives are more sanctified, there's a technical word, church word, but really what that means is that we become more like how God had intended us to be in the first place. That is part of the salvation journey. That's part of the Christian journey. That's this thing about becoming more human because God said, I am making you in my image. And so then, here's the big story now. Enter Jesus into the world, Son of the Father, full of the Spirit. Colossians 1, which I referenced that in that little PowerPoint I had earlier, said he is the image of the invisible God. So if you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. If you want to look like the perfect human looks like, look at Jesus. It's an interesting connection there. And it says God was pleased to have the fullness of him dwell in Jesus. So look at Jesus, you see the fullness of God. Look at Jesus, you also see the fullness of humanity, the most human ever. And that, as you look at Jesus, is who you are being transformed into that likeness yourself. So if you want to have a vision of who you are to be, look to Jesus. That doesn't mean to say we all become the same. Few. There's a bit in Revelation, the beginning of Revelation, it talks about how Jesus is amongst the lampstands, the churches. It kind of gives you this idea that Jesus isn't found in any one church, that every church has its own personality. I think every person has its personality, but we all share a bit of Jesus. And that's when we get together as church, then we become actually more those different elements of Jesus sort of come out. You know, we all have our different skills. Not everybody can play the guitar like John. Not everybody can lead a service. Not everybody can make toast. I discovered as some of them are quite brown this morning. But, you know, we all have our different talents. Okay? And together, when we come together, we find the fullness of Jesus. So I recommend meditating on Jesus and discovering who we should be. Rather than seeing Jesus as this sort of character who tells us things and forgives us. Yes, he is those things, and yes, of course, he is God, but also he is who we are growing into. And salvation, redemption, sanctification, it's all growing. We're all growing into the image of Christ. Colossians chapter 3 says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your old lips." So from your lips, sorry. We're very good at focusing on that. Oh dear, there's this, that, and the other. And that is the old, and that is what we are to put off, because that is the old. But then we move into the new. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off the old selves. Do not lie to each other. Don't go around telling that we're living in that. We're living in the new, and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. I'll say that last bit again, because I read it badly, but it's also good to hear it again. Which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. So following Jesus is a journey of putting off the old and putting on the new. And that new is in the image of our creator, Jesus. Are we getting the idea? You don't do talking very well. Very, very quiet. Very quiet. Yes, so a few little nods. Yes, do we get the idea? Yes, you'd be terrible Pentecostals. I think this is, well, maybe that's why you're Baptists. I don't know. Putting off the old and being renewed in the new, in the image of the Creator. And that's what Christian life is like. That's what it's about. It's becoming more human. Becoming more human. And how this relates, and when we gather together as church, you see, we see the image of God. This is the hope anyway. Becoming renewed in each one of us more and more each time we gather. Because Scripture tells us that although we are wasting away outwardly, the inward man is being renewed daily. And so when we gather together, we are a people on a journey together who are being transformed. It's great actually to come in after a moment, you know, a few months and sort of say, oh, for instance, different people are doing different things. There are different people here. The people have moved on. People are speaking more boldly. Some people are even acknowledging when I say yes, and then you respond to me. Sometimes, you know, I mean, this is a step forward. You know, this is, we're moving on. It's great to do that. I think sometimes maybe we see each other too often, and we don't, you know, like I just said to, what's Julie's son name? Noah. Yeah. I said, I'm sorry, I'm going to sound like an old uncle now, but I've said, haven't you grown? You know, because you see. But sometimes when you live with the person, you don't see that growth. But you've got to know that it's happening. And that's why we've got to encourage one another and say, this is happening. This is happening. And when we gather together, we're a collection of this, these living temples. It's like, should be an exciting mix of people. Say, oh, wow. I can see the shoots of the new life of Jesus springing up in different areas and different people's lives. Now, maybe church doesn't seem to you like that to you each week. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, let's be honest. But it is happening, and I think we need to identify it, we need to celebrate it. I would encourage you, if you sit with the same people each week, move around, because you might actually find, oh, I haven't spoken really to Alison for a month maybe, and then, oh, something. Now I can see something, so let's speak it out, let's encourage one another. Church is a living organism. Actually, Brian, could you put that PowerPoint back up for me? See, one of the things when we gather together, there's so many different interests, there's so many different personalities here, aren't there? There's so many different temperaments, there are so many different characteristics, different talents, different gifts, different abilities, and we're all united in Christ. We all have an equal place at the table. And we will see elements of Jesus in each one of us if we start looking. So I encourage you to start looking. But here's a challenging thing as well about church, is that actually some of the elements of Jesus that we find a struggle. Now, somebody said, we pointed out irreligious earlier, didn't we? There are some things about Jesus, I'll be honest with you, when I think about Jesus, there are some things I love, and there are some things that I think, this is a little bit awkward. I don't get on well with this bit of Jesus. You see, Jesus is the kind of person who will, when you're on a mission, somebody said he was focused, right? You said he was, you said he was focused on mission. Yeah, okay, so there's a girl, she's sick, we need to go and heal her. That's the mission, right? I'm the kind of person that gets in the car, puts Jesus in the passenger seat, right, I'll take you, let's go. Blue lights, off we go. Jesus is the kind of person, when somebody knocks on the window of the car, and he goes, something's happened. And we have to stop the car and get out of the car, even though there's a sick girl in the next town, and I've got to get there really quick because otherwise she might die, that he deals with a lady with an issue of blood there and then. I find that really irritating about Jesus. I'll be honest with you. Anybody else with me on that kind of thing? I'm just like, I'm going, and we've got a mission, and you've got a mission, but now you're stopping to talk to this lady who says she might have brushed past you in this busy crowd. You know the story I'm talking about, right? I find that a little bit irritating because I'm focused. Yeah? Anybody else like that? You know, maybe now some of you are thinking, no, but what's all the hurry, man? So let's hang out with this lady here, you know? And you can see the conflict already, can't you? Yeah? He's unpredictable. I don't like that. I like certainty in my life. My wife loves to just live life and just kind of... I like to have my week planned out and know what I'm doing, you know, what socks I'm wearing on Thursday, that kind of thing, you know. But Jesus is kind of, he can be unpredictable, he can be confrontational. Who likes confrontation? See, there are people, you know, there are people that like it. Jesus likes a bit of confrontation. If he sees something that needs to be confronted, he will confront it. I like to run away from it, so it's nice, been lovely knowing you. And here's the thing, when we come together as church and we start to recognize the elements of Jesus in other people, we'll find the good things we like about Jesus, the things we like about Jesus rather, I won't call them good because they're all good, but we'll also be bumping up against the things that we find a little bit uncomfortable. Oh, there's a person who likes confrontation. Now, I'm not saying we start arguing every time we see each other and sort of fisticuffs outside in the car park, but what I'm saying is there are elements of Jesus here that I find a bit, but they will shape me in a good way when I start to say, okay, well, this is Jesus. And I don't necessarily get on with the unpredictable Jesus or the confrontational Jesus or the irreligious Jesus, but I'm going to learn to let that element of Jesus shape me. And that will only happen when we get together. Because otherwise we'll just read about it and think, oh, yeah, Jesus, he was confrontational. Well, that's nice. Put the book back on the shelf. Say a prayer, and nothing happens. Nothing changes. But when we've got to sit next to each other in the pew, or the chair, or the table, what do we call these things nowadays? There are no pews anymore. What's happened? Then I'm challenged, not by you necessarily, but I'm challenged by Jesus in you. Because actually maybe not all of your confrontation is Jesus-like, but at least there is a part of Jesus in there. Is that making sense? Does that make sense to you? Because I think it's easy to keep Jesus at a safe distance, on the pages, in the story, or at least the bits I like about Jesus, I'll keep those close. But then the things I find a bit challenging, well, that's for somebody else. No, it's for all of us. So gather together, and as we gather together, you see, as we gather together, your joy reminds me of Jesus' joy. But also when we gather together, your sorrow reminds me of Jesus' sorrow. When we gather together, your faithfulness reminds me of Jesus' faithfulness. And we see Jesus working in us and through us. Now, hopefully, and I'll finish with this, just a thought for you. Hopefully we'll see that most when we gather together as church, because as the Holy Spirit is working in us, these things will start popping up and you'll see, oh, I can see more of Jesus in this person and we can rejoice in that. But I would say that even, you see, when we're all made in God's image, even people who aren't in church, you know, even people from different religions. Now, I'm not going off and saying that they are followers of Christ, but God's image is in everybody. equally. It's just a lot of it is suppressed by sin and darkness and evil, and they haven't been found Christ, and it's not popping out as easy as it should be in us, all right? Okay? But actually, when we go out in the world, this may you may find it now easier to love people if you say, oh, I can actually see the image of Jesus in my next-door neighbour, who's a right pain in the bum a lot of the time. I've used that word twice now. Sorry. I don't know if, does Ben say pain in the bum? Sorry. Irreligious. But I do see there is a bit of Jesus in them. And I tell you what, I'm going to start encouraging that. And this may lead to a bit of it. You may even, this may wind up your non-Christian friends. You know, imagine Sarah's not a Christian. You might need to struggle to do it. I don't know, but it may not. And you might say, do you know what, Sarah? I see the image of Jesus in you when you put my bins out and I've forgotten. Ah, you've nailed them. It's like, oh, my goodness, this might start, this may prod something, because it's true, is it not? When she serves me and I didn't ask for it, where do you get that idea from? Oh, there's inherently somewhere inside us, there's a bit of God trying to come out. Come to Christ and you'll find it comes out even more. I mean, you can put it in your own language. Just do you see what I'm saying? It's good news. Good news that Jesus wants to bring the real you out of you. The bad news is that the world is full of stuff that suppresses, and whether it's our sin or the sin of the world around us or just the way the world is dark, it just brings that is suppressed, it's hidden, it's covered up. But when we come to Christ and the light of Christ shines on us and that stuff, the stuff starts to burn away and melt off and the real us comes out, whether it's our neighbor or us, or then that's exciting. So this doesn't just stop here. That's what I'm trying to say. I'll finish with this. Now I've got to go because I've got another sermon to preach in about 10 minutes. So, I feel a bit like the Vicar of Dibley of my Christmas special. You know, I've had my breakfast here. We've got lunch. You laugh at that one. I've saved you all this time. I've got lunch after church as well. We've got our shared meal today. So, got to save a bit of space. Let me give you a quote from Mother Teresa. She said, seeing Christ in the Eucharist, so that's communion, enabled her to see him in the streets. So basically, if we can see Jesus in a piece of bread and a bit of wine, okay, now, obviously Catholics have a different way of understanding that, but we still recognize that this is the body of Christ, right? However you understand that. But if we can see Jesus in a piece of bread, if we recognize Jesus in the bread, she said, we will have no difficulty in recognizing him in the disguise of the suffering poor. This is why Mother Teresa could say, I have an opportunity to be with Jesus 24 hours a day, whether in the chapel or in the slums, in the pew or in the hospital. She recognized the Lord everywhere she went because she trained herself each morning at the altar so that she would see him in the people. So she says, I see Jesus in every human being. I say to myself, this is hungry Jesus. I must feed him. This is sick Jesus. This one has leprosy or gangrene. I must wash him and tend to him. I serve because I love Jesus. So I've gone all over the place this morning. I realize that, but I hope you bear with me. But when we gather together, here's the conclusion. Encourage one another in this. And don't wait for somebody like me to say it. But, you know, you don't have to make it every time you come through the door, right? I encourage this. But just get into the habit of encouraging one another. And the way you can do it is to say, this week, I've seen the image of Jesus in you in this way. And as we gather, we encourage one another in those things. So I don't know when you normally finish, about now, but I've got to run off, literally, so I'm going to leave you to it. But I want you to redo the exercise. We've already done it once. I want you to challenge yourself. Go and find somebody else that you didn't speak to earlier, and I just want you to take a moment to be with them, contemplate them, and encourage them in how you see the image of Jesus in them, in their personality, maybe even in their just the way they appear. Alison blessed me just a minute ago with something, and she did it. She's put it into practice. Thank you, Alison, for coming in and encouraging me with how she'd seen Jesus in me. And she put something that I haven't got on there. Relaxed. I don't think relaxed is on there, but hey, Jesus is relaxed. Cool. Now, kings hate it when I do this, but you might have to get out your seats. Sorry, because you're probably sitting next to the same person you were sitting next to earlier. So get up, move around, encourage one another. I'm going to go. It's been great being with you this morning. Really do love being with you. Kings send their greetings, by the way. Forgot to say that this morning. And hope we can do it again sometime soon. So love you.